in with the transition program.
Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We welcome people from all religious, racial, and ethnic backgrounds and all sexual orientations. We are a lay-led congregation, and I'm Erin Bosch, the current president. We will begin with the chalice lighting, and Barb is going to read us a poem, after which we will have 1 minute of silent meditation.
There was a child went forth every day. This is Walt Whitman. There was a child went forth every day, and the first object he looked upon, that object he became, and that object became part of him for a day, or a certain part of a day, or for many years, or stretching cycles of years. The early lilacs became part of this child, and grass, and white and red morning glories, and white and red clover, and the song of the Phoebe bird, and the third month lamb, and the sow's pink faint litter, and the mare's foal, and the cow's calf, and the noisy brood of the barnyard, or by the mire of the pond side, and the fish suspending themselves so curiously below there, and the beautiful, curious liquid, and the water plants with their graceful flat heads, all became part of him. The field sprouts of fourth month and fifth month became part of him. Winter grain sprouts and those of the light yellow corn and the esculent roots of the garden. And the apple trees covered with blossoms and fruit afterward and wood berries and the commonest weeds by the road. And the old drunkard staggering home from the outhouse of the tavern whence he had lately arisen, and the schoolmistress that passed on her way to the school, and the friendly boys that passed, and the quarrelsome boys, and the tidy and fresh-cheeked girls, and the barefoot Negro boy and girl, and all the changes of city and country wherever he went. His own parents, he that had fathered him and she that had conceived him in her womb and birthed him, they gave the child more of themselves than that. They gave him afterward every day. They became part of him. The mother at home quietly placing the dishes on the supper table. The mother with mild words, clean her cap and gown. a wholesome odor falling off her person and clothes as she walks by. A father, strong, self-sufficient, manly, mean, angered, unjust. The blow, the quick, loud word, the tight bargain, the crafty lure. The family usages, the language, the company, the furniture, the yearning and swelling heart. Affection that will not be gainsaid, the sense of what is real, the thought if, after all, it should prove unreal. The doubts of daytime and the doubts of nighttime, the curious whether and how, whether that which appears so is so, or is it all flashes and specks? Men and women crowding fast in the streets, if they are not flashes and specks, what are they? The streets themselves, the facades of houses, the goods in the windows, vehicles, teams, the heavy planked wharves, the huge crossing at the ferries. The village on the highland, seen from afar at sunset, the river between. Shadows, aureola and mist, the light falling on roofs and gables of white or brown 2 miles off. The schooner nearby sleepily dropping down the tide, the little boat slack-tawed astern. The hurrying tumbling waves, quick broken crests, slapping. The strata of colored clouds, the long bar of maroon tint, away solitary by itself. The spread of purity it lies motionless in. The horizon's edge, the flying sea crow, the fragrance of salt marsh and shore mud. These became part of that child who went forth every day and who now goes and will always go forth every day.
Now we have a story, and the children could come up here because there are pictures and they're good ones. I have an anecdote about this story. I've read this before several times, and last time I read it, Larry Nowick, is he here? I don't see him. He said, "Where did you get the tune that you used in the story?" And I said, "Well, there wasn't any music. I just made it up." And he said, "Well, because he'd gone somewhere and someone had done this story, and he had the tune of what they used, and he remembered it." And he sang it for me, and I said, "I know that tune. That's from an old Peter, Paul, and Mary song. So since I knew it, I'm going to use his. I'm going to humor him and use the tune that he thinks goes with the story." Someone in the back, Bob, could you turn the ceiling fans on low? I as well use these over. Okay, the name is Love You Forever. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. Pulled all the books off the shelves, he pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." And there he is, with all the toilet paper all over the bathroom floor, and holding that watch, yes, just about to flush it down the toilet. But at night, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. There he is with his headphones on and his bubble gum and his baseball glove. His 3 feet, right? But at night, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends, and he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. There he is. Who thinks he's pretending to be? Elvis. He looks a little Elvis-like. Yeah. But at night, time, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, if you've got the tune by now, you can help me. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby'll be. The teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town. Moved in all across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. What's this on the top of her car? A ladder. All the lights in her son's house were out. She opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. Older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, you better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy'll be. Then he went into the the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. What would I do without my help? Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby will be." Now is an opportunity for joys and sorrows. I'll begin by saying it was a joy to me to go to Chicago on Friday night to my niece's wedding. And it was a Friday night wedding, and I wound up not getting to bed till 4 in the morning. And then I had to get up in the morning and take my sister-in-law and her grandchildren to a play. So I'm operating on not a lot of sleep. I was really glad to have help with that song. Nancy.
Thank you.
Rachel.
Some of you already know, but I haven't had the opportunity to announce that Madeline and Ruben and myself all made roles in the vocal, the Rose Theater Bill production of The Wizard of Oz.
Ooh.
We've been practicing up a storm. Each of us has three separate roles called Redouble and Redouble. Ruben has a couple of special parts, but they're both, these guys are munchkins and flying monkeys.
So that means someday, Ruben, when you're a director, you're going to organize that a little better, right? Anyone else? Oh. Anyone else? KK. What a wonderful grandmother-granddaughter bonding experience. Al.
Sharice Ryan is doing our lawn this month. And they fell through the cracks that they have started, you know. That's the joy. The sorrow is not a single person has signed up for any of our jobs for June. So I'm going to sharpen the pencil with that is needed and then start the clipboard up here to make sure that it makes it around during the meeting this morning. And that every spot is filled up.
Anyone else? We have a song by our choir.
Thank you.
Eight people. It's a small choir, but they do a wonderful job. If you notice, sometimes once what should probably be sung by one section is being done by one person. But they did a great job. Now we want to give you an opportunity to just say good morning to your people sitting around you. Traditional transition service where we honor our graduating eighth graders. Prairie does not have a lot of rituals. It's not a very ritualistic congregation, but we do have some. We have the symbol tree at Christmas where we talk about something that's happened to us in our lives and put a symbol of that on the evergreen tree. We have the traditional kazoo band and key log ceremony at our fall retreat, and we introduce our RE students every September, and this is a special one that we call our transition service. And it includes the traditional reading of Love You Forever, which some people might say is laziness on my part, because rather than try to find an appropriate story every year, I've been reading this one for the last several years. But I hearken it back to my childhood, where I was brought up Catholic, and the same gospel is read on the same Sunday. Every day, every Sunday, every year, it's the same gospel. And the benefit of that is you remember them better. I mean, you've heard that story over and over again. And so I actually remember many of those gospels. Not all of them, thank goodness. But I remember the good ones. There are some good ones, and I remember those. So this is the gospel according to Aaron, okay? This service is our rendition of a coming-of-age ceremony. People are probably most familiar with when Jewish children become 13, they have a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah, and they go through a lot. They learn a lot of Hebrew. They have to get up and recite a lot of things before the congregation, and then they have a big old party. Sometimes they're like little wedding receptions. It's pretty amazing. But they do a lot of work for that. In the Christian community, they have a confirmation, which I'm not even sure how old you are when you get confirmed these days. I was about 12 or 13, but I think they may be pushing that up to high school nowadays. But again, you go through confirmation classes, and you have a lot of work that you have to do. For our eighth graders, they have been going through religious education classes, hopefully, since they were young, and there isn't any specific difference when they get to be in eighth grade, but this is our coming-of-age ceremony, and what we ask of them is that they prepare something to do in front of the group. It's not memorizing a lot of Hebrew. It's not something that's ritualized in what they do. The only ritual is, do something, please. And then they get to be creative and choose what they wish to do. It also has included some, in the past several years, some quizzes that the parents write to help us get to know these kids better. And those are our traditions. The service also allows some time to thank religious education teachers, because after all, that's who is ministering to these children. And the interesting thing about this service is it gives the eighth graders an opportunity, I'll call it opportunity, to get in front of a group and do something and maybe get rid of some stage fright. It's a little different from being in front of your class, where you might have to do presentations in front of the class, but this is a group that includes a lot of adults. But luckily, they are very friendly adults, and they are an easy audience, very easy to please, so it's a really nice opportunity to have that be the first time in front of such a group. I try to sometimes think of little anecdotes about the graduates, and if I don't do an anecdote, that means I haven't thought of one. And so some years I don't happen to have any, but I do have two this year. And the first one is Eleanor. Eleanor Owens is one of our eighth graders, and she and I have had some wonderful conversations about movie musicals. She's definitely, I hope I'm not giving away anything on that quiz, but she's definitely into movie musicals, and we were having a conversation, and I said, do you remember in South Pacific that there's something wrong with that? Something goes funny in there, the lighting or something, and she goes, yes, oh yes, it's when she's sinking belly high, and the sky turns all these funny colors, and I went, yes, yes, that's it. So we bonded over South Pacific. And it turned out that I had taped that new version of South Pacific that was on TV, and she didn't get a chance to watch it. So after I watched it, I lent it to her. And I haven't talked to her yet, but her father told me that she didn't think it was as good as the original, and neither did I. Sometimes the originals are better. Judy Wacker is our other eighth grader. And last year at Bethel Horizons, Judy really impressed me. We were playing Ultimate Frisbee, and you try to get your teams even, you know, equal sizes, ages on each team so that the game works better that way. Only my team was at a decided disadvantage because we couldn't find anyone that could cover Judy. She was very fast, and we couldn't cover her on defense, and she was quite willing to dive on the ground to catch that Frisbee, and the defense was not. So she was really their secret weapon, and my team lost. So now I would like to ask, in alphabetical order, if Eleanor would like to come up and do her presentation for us. I didn't even know you played the piano. I was expecting a song because we all know that you sing, so that was a surprise. Okay, now we have Judy Wacker.
Cats are gray and black, brown, white, and orange. They sound like the plaintive meow of a hungry newborn kitten, smell of darkened meadows and sunny rugs. Cats are a widened eye, a twitching tail, feeling satisfied. Opposites of themselves. hidden. Lively, lazy, playful, aloof, curious, bored. Growing into the opposite, cat. Asleep? Gray cat lies in the sun, whiskers twitching at dust moths. Spider, lightning quick paw, flashes through hot, bright air. In peace and happiness. Kittens, tussling together in play, they have fun enjoying life. So thoroughly they'll ever last. In peace and happiness. And these are just called cat haiku. A cat in the sun is as white clouds in the blue sky. See sleeping kittens, a twitching tail and whiskers, tired after play.
Judy, and you know, I was sitting there thinking, I never realized before that cats do grow into their opposites. Kittens are really totally opposite of cats. Now we'd like to give you 5 minutes to actually mark down true or false and take these quizzes. I think Katie has some pencils to pass out, and we'll give you 5 minutes to see how well you know these kids. Some of the questions are trick questions.
Thank you.
these quizzes, and so I've asked that one of the parents of each student come forth to correct the quizzes. And they will ask you if you think it's true or false, and you can raise your hand for true, and we'll see how well we did. And we'll go in reverse alphabetical order and have a parent of Judy come forward and correct her quiz. Apparently you did not arrange this beforehand. All righty, number one, Judy is a vegan, true or false? No secret there. Number two, Judy is afraid of rats. That would that have been a tricky one if she had not brought her rat this morning? Okay. No. Three, Judy walks dogs at the Humane Society. Okay. Four, Judy is a proficient log roller. Yes, she is very good at log rolling. On the water. I mean, not like on land, anyway. Number five, Judy enjoys playing soccer. False. Six, Judy is named after two aunts. True. Seven, Judy has lived in Wisconsin all of her life. Correct. False. You are correct. It is false. She's lived in Illinois and Minnesota. Eight. Judy has never seen the Northern Lights. This is true, I think. Judy? It's true. Okay. Unless you saw them in the last week and I didn't know about it. Nine. Judy has matching moles on the palms of her hands. This is true. Judy, would you like to demonstrate? Why don't you stand up? Right. Well, show. Anyway, if she puts her hands together, they match up there in the exact mirror reflection. Okay, and then put them together. Ten. Judy's middle name is Anne. Does anyone know what it is? Diana. Judith Diana. Judy enjoys kayaking. True. Who wouldn't? Judy won a garden contest when she was eight. False. That was Toby. False. 13. Judy has a birthmark in the shape of a viola. You're right. 14. Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Judy was born during an eclipse. False. Well, not to my knowledge. I was pretty much out of it at the time. weather phenomena going on? Okay. Judy plays viola in the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra. True. So, Judy, did you hear what Rosemary said with those moles? It must be you're a true princess, and that's what that must mean. Now we have Eleanor's child.
The only copy of the real answers to this was submitted to Aaron, and we didn't get it back, so we're not sure. But Eleanor just answered these herself, so I have her copy of the quiz answers here. So this is more authoritative, actually. Number one, Eleanor is called Ellie by her friends at school. It's false. They call her Elle. Number two, math is Eleanor's favorite school subject. Raise your hand, true. It's false. Number three, Eleanor sang the lead role in her school's musical play this spring. It's true. It was Once on This Island, and actually a really interesting play. If you ever get a chance to see it with someone else leading, it's still worth going to. She did a very nice job. Eleanor is looking forward to being an only child next year when Allison leaves for college. True? Raise your hand. False? Yeah, this one's false. She's really not looking forward to that, and part of it is her concern about having a little too much parental attention. Number five, Eleanor wrote her autobiography in the year 2000. Oh, it's true. It was the year 2000. Seems odd for people to be doing memoirs at this age, but she did. Numbers. Yeah, in school. It was an assignment, okay. Number six, Eleanor vacations in Kentucky and Minnesota every summer. It's true. These are carved in stone. These are the forces of her life. She goes to yeah, that's it. The extended family gathering in Kentucky at a state park for a whole week, and then 2 weeks of French language camp at Concordia in Minnesota. So she's becoming adept at Kentucky and French. Number seven, Eleanor's favorite foods are brats and corn dogs. Well, she is a vegetarian. Number eight, Eleanor is a hockey goalie. False. She plays soccer midfield. Okay. Number nine, Eleanor's dogs are named Song and Dance. True? False? Okay, well, this one's actually quite false. We don't have a dog. Our cat is named Salty, and some mornings Salty will sleep on Eleanor's bed and help nudge her out of bed. Number 10, rainy weather makes Eleanor happy. Raise your hand, true. You're correct, it's true. Okay, she really likes rainy weather. Number 11, Eleanor won't be legal to drive a car alone until she's a high school junior. Alone. It's true. She is one of the youngest in her class. She was a July baby and got bumped up instead of back. So, number 12. Eleanor is up at dawn most days. False. False. What she wrote is, she'd like to sleep during the day. She's a real night owl. Number 13, borrowed clothing makes Eleanor happy. Raise your hands, false. No, she really, really likes to wear her sister's clothes. Okay, number 14, Eleanor likes pop music, Broadway show tunes, oldies, and classical arias. Yeah, it's true. And her version says, and more. Number 15. Eleanor knows songs in Italian, German, Yiddish, Hebrew, Latin, Spanish, Greek, and Chinese. True? Raise your hands. It's false. She hasn't gotten to the Chinese and Greek yet.
We forgot to tell you to correct your papers. Have you been correcting your papers? Do you know how many you got right and wrong? Okay. For Judy, how many got 15 right? Well, not family members. Oh, Eleanor. Eleanor got 15 right on Judy's? Well, you win the prize. There is no prize, but we get a round of applause. How many got 14 right for Judy? Well, you won it by a lot, I think, Eleanor. 13? 12? That's good. Okay, 11? A little better. Okay, good. How about 15 right for Eleanor? Did you really? Back, Ian, did you guys? Oh, wait, you're sitting. Did you share with Allison? Okay, anyone else besides non-family members or sitting next to family members get 15, right? 14. Did you get 14, Amelia? Good job. You get that round of applause. How about 13? 12. Okay, 11. 10. We're getting there now. Okay. Now I would ask that Judy and Eleanor come forward, and Randy also. Where is he? There he is.
Are you ladies ready for the ceremony? We're talking about traditions, and one tradition that Prairie is steeped in is the giving of a chalice to our 8th grade graduates. And as Aaron said, it's steeped with symbolism, too. So I have an honor of explaining it to everyone every year. This chalice is a symbol of our common ideas and our common destiny. It was developed in, actually the original one was developed in 1940 by an Austrian immigrant named Franz Deutsch. What it represents is a flaming chalice of a bunch of common elements, so that his idea and the UU Unitarians and Universalists back then thought that it was important to have common elements so that whatever background you had, you could identify with some part of this. The universal symbol that we have. The chalice, the cup itself symbolizes sharing. The oil is the healing element of the world. And the flame is superstitions rising above, truth rising above truth, of course. And the last major element is the circle. Symbolizing inclusiveness, that all the elements of the earth are together. So I have the distinct honor this morning to present one to each of our graduates. For you, Judy. And for you, Eleanor. Congratulations.
Judy and Eleanor to pay close attention, because next I would like to ask that our high school graduates come forward, and we would like you to tell us your name, just in case we've forgotten it, or hobble forward, as the case may be. Yeah. And we'd like you to tell us your name and what school you're graduating from and what your plans are for next year. And then if you have any piece of advice for our 8th graders heading into high school.
I'm Tara Conger, for you guys don't know. I am going to go to Knox College, which is in Galesburg, Illinois. I plan to major in psychology and minor in dance. This summer, I'm going to be working at the mall. Good discount. And I'm very excited this summer. My family from Japan is going to be here. And they only get to spend 3 days, but it's going to be really wonderful. Advice. Well, I think I went to Wingworth School and had a really wonderful time and really close connections with all of my teachers. And unfortunately, once you go to a high school, especially a big one like West High School, a lot of times you lose that, not only just because you can't call them by their first name, but just because you become a number, and it can be very frustrating. So, hey guys, make the connections with your teachers. It makes a big difference. Talk to them. You can learn a lot and put yourself on the same level as them. And enjoy every day. A lot of times you go through the weeks and you really want it to be Friday, and whole years go by and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I mean, me looking now, I'm a senior and I don't know where the time went. So enjoy it and make lots of friends.
What high school?
What? Oh, I'm sorry, I go to West High School.
Well, I'm Ian Park, and I went to Memorial High School, and I guess I still do for a little while. I'm planning on going to the University of Whitewater to study art education, and I'm looking forward to that a lot. It should be a whole lot of fun. But, I don't know. This is quite the graduation. I've been going to Prairie my entire life. It'll be the first time I'm really away, so I'm not sure what that's going to be. I'll be here every once in a while. I'm sure. I'm not gonna. So, as far as advice goes, I'd say that high school. A lot of people decide that they're gonna have lots of problems in high school, and that they're gonna take everything seriously. And I think it's like a little version of being an adult in real life, but I don't think it really is. So just enjoy yourself. Don't worry about everybody who turns everything into a giant soap opera, because as much fun as it is to participate in the soap opera, it's more fun to just kind of sit back and watch it.
Robin, would you like to come and thank our teachers for us?
Every spring it seems that we feel like we're scrambling for teachers, and we wonder how such a small congregation is going to find 8 teachers plus subs plus childcare and still be able to fill the room halfway upstairs. But every year we manage to do it, I think, which is a token of the dedication that people at Prairie have toward the RE program, toward the children, toward the families. And so every year, we probably can't do enough to thank the people who teach, but we like to do a little something to recognize the teachers in the RE program. This year, we introduced a new curriculum, the Our Whole Lives Sexuality curriculum, and that was taught in 3 of the 4 grades. And we also introduced a new racial justice curriculum in the middle school. So it was a busy year downstairs, and I just wanted to recognize the teachers briefly. The first teacher is the preschool teacher, Jolene Connor, and she's downstairs right now with Maya and Jonah and Jordy. So if you get the chance today, if you see her before you leave the building, please thank her for coming all year and for taking care of the children all year long. She will be continuing throughout the summer, and hopefully we'll have her back in the fall also. So if you know Jolene, if you recognize her, please thank her for us, and we'll give her a book. Also, Heather Lawrence was a preschool teacher before she went off to her adventure to Switzerland and France, and hopefully maybe she'll be back next year. The K-1-2 teachers were first Amy Wilcox, who did it for the fourth year running, I think, consecutively. So we... And I think Amy's going to be back next year.
Yeah.
We're actually dedicating a wing of the basement to Amy. The second teacher is Carrie Behealer for the K-1-2 group. I don't see her in the audience today, so we'll hang on to this for her. Okay. The 3-4-5 group today was this year was taught by Rachel Long. Rachel will also be teaching again next year, and her, as will her partner, John Peterson, our teaching partner, John Peterson. The book I'm handing out is called Glory Hallelujah. Now, please pick up your socks. And it's a Skinner House book from the UUA. I'll read one of the blurbs on the back here. Elegantly composed and salutes the sacred in life's messy, holy moments. I guess that's a reference to the socks. It reflects Unitarian Universalism at its finest, majoring in poignant particulars while skirting lapses into abstraction. Spare of word, awash in wisdom. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, where was I? Grades, and it's written by a Grinnell graduate. So, what that's worth. Grades 6, 7, and 8. Middle school was taught this year by, first by Pat Watkins, who... Pat brought up the fact that there was kind of a hole in our curriculum. We've had a social justice curriculum for a long time, but we really hadn't had a curriculum that focused on racial justice. And so she thought it was a good idea to teach that. And so at her suggestion, we introduced that for the 6th, 7th, 8th group this year. And she taught with Paula Pachars. And Paula's had enough airtime today, so we'll just... Okay, the last group is the high school group, which is taught by K.K. Anderson. And when KK is not teaching high school, she's doing something else helpful around here with the youth. She's carting them off to conferences in far-flung places and doing other things to kind of keep us aware. Her partner was Larry Nolick, and I don't think Larry's here today. When we needed a male presence to teach the sexuality curriculum for the high schoolers, Larry was willing to step in and do that, so that was really helpful. And Eileen Nettleton was a substitute this year. Easiest book she ever picked up. It's important, though, to have substitutes, though, because not every week, I mean, the teachers can't make it there every week, so it's always good to have backups. Lastly, I wanted to thank Randy Converse again for another year as Director of Religious Education. Thank you very much.
I'm going to pass the basket.
baskets for any pledge checks or other donations.
Erin?
Yes.
Can we give Robin a hand?
Certainly, yes. I'm so glad you said that, because Robin has done so much this year. He is the chair of the RE committee, and a small committee it is, because all of the people are busy teaching classes, so there's no one left to be on the committee. So it was he did a lot of work this year. So thank you for that reminder. Now I'd like an opportunity to ask any guests or visitors to introduce themselves. I see Byron is back again. So say hello to Byron, find out how the surgery is, when it's scheduled, etc. And is there anyone else? I saw somebody. She must have disappeared already, though. Okay. Now we have a chance for any brief. Sometimes we don't even have announcements on an intergenerational Sunday, but it's on the program, so I'll say really small, short announcements. Metchie.
I'm embarrassed myself.
Paula.
In the arboretum, there's a sunlit circle with stone seating, and there's a circular place in the middle. And we are going to gather there early in June, and we're looking for someone to lead us in an outdoor service. If you're interested in that, in leading or co-leading, please contact me or someone else on the program.
Which reminds me, I should announce that next week there will be no meeting here. We will be having a picnic at the home of the Hack Lawrences, which is out in Verona. And I really want to encourage any newcomers, this means you. You are invited, and you know, we hope that you come. There's directions in the Prairie Fire. And I would encourage any other people to actually invite newcomers. Byron, come to the picnic. Bev and Karen, come to the picnic. Okay? Anyone else? Nancy.
You served as the last program in the Conference of Public Congregation for our ministry. It's going to be basically where we go from here and learn how to be doing.
Judy.
For those of you who usually gather the pledge checks to me, please now mail them to the
Pat? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure all of you have read in the story called "We Do Not Vote." Fundraising churches are often hard to get to. The Prairie Fire had a wrong price. The Prairie Fire said $52 and it's actually $50. What I'd like to say in my announcement is that this is one of the few fundraising activities that Prairie does where we depend on people outside of Prairie to raise the money. But it would be really nice to see if you see Prairie people participate. Usually we may have maybe 3-4 Prairie people who go on the trip. So I just want to encourage you to think about that and to realize that aside from your lunch money, any money that comes in now for people participating goes to Prairie. And this is an opportunity for people to have a lovely Saturday.
What's the date again? The date again.
The deadline for money is next Monday. Right now I have a half of us.
And the date is?
The date of the program is Saturday, June
16th. We want to thank Pat, because if it weren't for Pat, a Prairie person, we wouldn't be able to get that money from the non-Prairie people. Bob.
Okay, we have a very brief last meeting, so I want to just get together briefly and discuss important decisions that should be part of the state.
Anyone else? Paula.
This next Tuesday morning, if anyone is available and interested in helping cook and serve the breakfast for the homeless men's shelter, contact me.